Cliff, I appreciate you leading us in those songs. And Rod, for that scripture, and Ron, for leading us in the Lord's Supper this morning. Help our minds reflect on what our minds need to be reflecting upon, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus. You've noticed it's that time of year. The campaign speeches are starting to rev up. Anybody notice that? Old Donald Trump. Now, don't walk out on me. I promise this isn't a political speech this morning. But we've been talking about the idea of happiness in our world for weeks, and the idea of following your own heart. And we hear that in our world today. This morning, Kelly asked me what I was talking about, or last night, and I said, following your own heart. She said, you've been on that for a while. I said, Scriptures are full of it. I mean, all throughout Scripture, we find this idea. We could talk about it all year long, every Sunday. The amount of passages that talk about what makes man happy. Now, it doesn't use the word happy, but that's the thought or the idea. And the idea of following our own hearts versus following God's word or following God's ways. And so I mentioned Donald Trump because we know in the business world, he's considered to be a pretty successful guy. I mean, he has a little bit of money, right? A little bit more than us. No, quite a bit more than us. But he's considered to be really successful. And I came across this quote from Donald Trump on success and what success or what makes us a happy life. He said, quote, "The real measure of success is how happy you are. I have a lot of friends," he went on to say, "who don't have a lot of money, but they're a lot happier than I am. So therefore, I say that they are probably more successful." And I thought that was kind of an interesting quote from him, that he acknowledges that money isn't what really makes you successful. Now, there's many in our world that think it does, it makes you happy, but we know that it doesn't. The things that make us happy are not the things that we accumulate or what we would call our possessions or our belongings, the things that we have, because one day we have them and then the next day they're gone. They're the tangible things, the fleeting things. And if we put our happiness in those things that are fleeting, then so is our happiness. When the stock market is up, there's many that are singing its praises, right? But when it is down, they're depressed. Why? Because that is where their trust is. It's in the gold. It's in the possessions. It's in the things of this world. And we cannot find what I would call, or we would call, a lasting happiness that we long for. Those things are fleeting. And remember, our king, great King David, the king of old of Israel, said in Psalm 1, how blessed. And that's the closest idea we have of happiness. In God's eyes, being happy. How blessed is the man, he said, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, David said, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, or in his law, he meditates day and night. And he'll be like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he says, does, David says, he prospers. And then he'll go on and talk about the wicked. Whatever he does, the blessed man, he prospers. You see, his happiness is not in the world with sinners. It's in the Word with God. And the best way for us to align ourselves with God is not to mingle in the world, but to meditate. To place our hearts and minds on His thoughts and His Word. To align ourselves with what we're supposed to align our lives with. God and His ways, because we all know He knows best. He knows how we tick, church. He knows what makes man happy. He knows what it is that makes man live to his fullest potential and in with the happiest life. And only in God's Word can we have that. I want to clarify something before we move on. I don't want anybody to hear me say that We are to turn our noses from those who sin, because we all sin. We know that. We're in the world. We're not of the world. That's we're supposed to be, not of the world, as God's people. But we struggle, don't we? We all do. When we look at Jesus, we know that Jesus spent time with sinners, but Jesus did it for the purpose to heal and to bring salvation to their lives and realign their lives with God. They're completely offline, but God, Jesus wants to bring them back in alignment with God. But he didn't take the way of the sinner. He didn't sit and approve of their life. And neither are we. We are to be an example, though, to the world. David in Psalm 119:11 said, "Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." We don't want to be the kind of people at the end of our life. I've heard quotes, and you've heard it said in different ways. I did it my way. My whole life I lived for me. I did everything the way I wanted to do it. I followed after my own heart. Rather, we want to be the people who continue to say, we're learning more and more every day to do it God's way. Amen? Amen. We want to do it God's way. And the only way we're going to do that, we don't have any other way, but by His Word. And placing that word upon our hearts. So let's continue to reflect on happiness following our own hearts. You know, God set it up long ago. I want you to go back to Deuteronomy. Way back to the time of Israel and the wilderness. God has set up a way. God has set up a path. In chapter 11, let's read verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse." So he says, I'm going to put before you one way and another way. The blessing, if you listen, notice how simple this is. God made it so plain. Now, doing it is the hard part, right? The discipline, saying throughout the years, throughout the days of my life, I'm going to heed this word. But God places it simply before us, before His people, and it's no different today. He said, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen, and you're going to hear this pattern all throughout this lesson and throughout the scriptures. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I'm commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but you turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today by following other gods, which you have not known. And what was Israel's problem all throughout the generations? They followed their own way. They turned from the way of blessing to the way of their own way, which was the way of curse, and in turn followed other gods, whatever those gods were today, or were back then, and no different in our times today. Now we know the view of gods and that they made their own gods by their own hands. It was different, but still it's where their adoration was, where their lives were. They had many gods. I want you to go to Jeremiah. We spent time last week in Jeremiah chapter 17. And this is a chapter on the heart. Remember, there were five references. Ultimately, God says that He's the one who searches the heart. But Judah's heart was wicked. They followed their own path, and they suffered as a result of it. I want you to listen to what listen to the similarity of Moses' time when God set before them a blessing and a curse, and now through the generations all the way to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17 and verse 5. Jeremiah said, "Thus says the Lord." Somebody's upset this morning. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Notice the similarity here. "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man." There it is. "And makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. And then he's going to compare him to a bush in the desert. What's a bush in the desert? What's it for? Nothing. It has no, right? There's no fruit. It doesn't really have any value there, right? But I want you to, let's continue to read. Let's look at verse 7, because now he's going to bring into play the blessings. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is in the Lord. Not whose trust is in man, or whose trust is in the strength of man, but whose trust is in the Lord. Notice this comparison. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its root by the stream, will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Where have we heard that before? Psalm 1, David, right? What did the blessed man do? He meditated on the word of God, and he was like a tree firmly planted by the water, right? And who is this water? What does this water come from? Well, he'll tell us in verse 13 of Jeremiah 17, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you on earth will be written down. Notice why? Because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord. Now we know later on Jesus claims to have that living water, that when you drink of that water, you will never thirst. It's a living water. It's of an eternal nature. And in Jesus, we have that. But notice what he says the blessed man is. He is that man who trusts in the Lord. Now, let me do a little background before we move on. Judah trusted in their alliances. When you go back and read Jeremiah and what's happening at that time, God's people were trusting in nations. Their alliances with Babylon and Egypt, and they put their trust in that, not in God. So their trust was in flesh, and eventually they trusted in the gods of those nations and gave their ways over to the gods of those nations, while God all along has said to Israel, you shall have no other gods. I am the only God before you. How about this idea of blessed? I want to focus on this for a moment. I don't know everything there is to know about this. I don't claim to. But the idea of blessed is a really interesting word in this context. We talk about blessed a lot, don't we? In our prayers, Lord, bless us. Have we been blessed, Christian? We've been blessed already. We really have. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask God to bless us. We have been blessed. If we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven in the eyes of God. We are a blessed people because we have God's favor in our life. In the context of Jeremiah, the word blessed is barak, B-A-R-A-K. And in the context, notice this. And I love this thought. Boy, we could really get into this and talk about this, but I just want to touch on it for a moment. It means to be congratulated, okay? To be congratulated or to be prospered by God. Now that prospered by God doesn't just mean all kinds of abundance given by God. The gold is handed over by God. That's not what this means. That's not the only idea of being prospered by God. But that's what blessed is. To be congratulated. I want you to think about a moment in your life when you were congratulated before people. What is that like? Maybe you can only go back and remember your graduation, you know. Or maybe you were in the military and you moved up a rank. And before people, your family and other military men and women, you were honored. Your accomplishments were acknowledged. And how do you feel in those times? Pretty good feeling. I know when I think back to moments when I was congratulated or honored by somebody that was high or that I really respected, you feel pretty good. I want you to take that to another level and think about that in terms of God congratulating you. Can we even contemplate what it would be like and what it will be like the moment in which God congratulates us. This is kind of like, well done, good and faithful servant. You did it. God, the one who is above all, pats your back and he gives honor to you. You are congratulated. That's being blessed. To be congratulated. I can't think of a greater idea than that, than to have God acknowledge us and to honor us. Proverbs, more on this idea that we read in Jeremiah, Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs are just sayings that are meant to direct our steps, right? They aren't guarantees. They're what usually happens. If you do this, this is what usually happens. That's Proverbs. Sayings, wise sayings that direct our lives. Proverbs 28, 25, and 26. An arrogant man stirs up strife. But he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who walks wisely will be delivered. How about Psalm? There's many Proverbs that say that same idea, but let's look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. I've noticed on Facebook lately, there's a lot of little, quick little verses that are posted. You probably noticed those. Here's one if you want to do that. God is a refuge for us. That's the blessed person, the one that trusts him, the one who has God as a refuge. Now let's go back to Jeremiah again. Jeremiah 17. Now, a little more background before we move on. Here's the problem in Jeremiah's day. The people aren't listening to Jeremiah. That's basically it. God has given Jeremiah a message and told him, the prophet, the spokesman of his, to go and tell the people certain things about their life and how they're living and what God expects and what's going to happen. God, time and time again through Jeremiah would come to the people and say, listen, this is what's going to happen. But what we learn is God's time and man's time is different. And so Jeremiah's had this message and he keeps reiterating it. He's saying it over and over. And it's really a message of judgment. He says, dude, it's a hard message. You want to talk about stepping on toes? You say, sometimes you come to me after a lesson, you said, you know, you stepped on my toes. I didn't do it on purpose. The Word of God will do it. Jeremiah is bringing lesson after lesson after lesson that is stepping on their toes. It's a message of doom. A nation from the north is coming and they're going to have their way with you. This is kind of, in my eyes, I'm thinking, wait until your father gets home. Remember those days when you were younger? This is a bad time, and wait until God gets a hold of you. Wait until this happens. And this is what Jeremiah is prophesying is going to happen. But here's the thing. 20 years later, nothing has happened. And so the people are looking at Jeremiah the prophet going, this guy's wacky. God's time and our time is different. Perhaps, maybe they were going back and their logic was in their mind was going back to where is it? Deuteronomy chapter 18. Go back there real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And verse 22. It reads this way, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. That's true, but the problem is it doesn't give us a time frame. It doesn't say in 10 years or 20 years, if it doesn't come true, then it's not true. So here's Jeremiah with that message, and maybe that's partly what they're thinking back on as Jeremiah is bringing this message. But God, we know, is a patient God, and he's patient with all of his people. But you'll notice at chapter 17 of Jeremiah, notice verse 15. Jeremiah is having a tough time because the people are coming down on him. They're ridiculing him. They're coming after him and so forth. So he's having a hard time. Look at verse 15 of chapter 17. Look, they keep saying to me, "Where's the word from the Lord, Jeremiah? You've been saying this is going to happen. A nation is coming from the north. They're going to get us, but it hasn't happened yet. We don't fear you, Jeremiah." Look at the next part of this verse. "Let it come now." That's kind of our day. Bring it on, right? You hear people, "Bring it on. Come on, bring it. You know, I'm not afraid." That's what they're saying to Jeremiah. "We're not afraid. We don't buy into what you're saying." This is a hard time. You know, I think as a preacher, and a preacher isn't a prophet, but I think as a preacher, you know, you want people to respond to the message at times. 40 years Jeremiah prophesies, and he doesn't have a convert. What does that mean? He wasn't successful? No. Growth comes from God always, right? We bring the message, we deliver God's word, and the power is with God. He causes the growth. Paul says that in Corinthians, right? I planted, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. The increase is always his. Jeremiah was doing his part. It's just the people's hearts were hard and they did not want to listen to anything that Jeremiah was saying. Here's some of those prophecies. Go back to chapter 4. I'll read a few of these for you. Chapter 4 and verse 6. "Lift up a standard toward Zion and seek refuge. Do not stand still. For I am bringing evil from the north and great destruction." Chapter 5 and verse 15. "Behold, I'm bringing a nation against you from afar, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. It's an enduring nation and an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say." Can you imagine being Jeremiah and having to bring this message? That'd be tough. Chapter 6 and verse 19. That'd be tough just a few times, but how about 16 years or even longer in Jeremiah's case when you look at the whole history of it? Chapter 6 and verse 19. "Hear, O earth, behold, I'm bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it also." God's not a cruel God. He told them the way of blessing. "You have rejected my words, you have not listened to them." Chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 8. Same pattern here, same problem. "Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. He followed his own way. Therefore I brought on them all the words of this covenant, which I am commanding them to do, but they did not." And then notice verse 8. How about verse 11? "Therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I'm bringing disaster on them, which they will not be able to escape. Though they will cry to me, yet I will not listen to them." And there's many other passages where you find this very idea about them not listening to God's word and God's commandments. How do we follow the blessings and not the curse? I think Jeremiah makes it really clear. He makes it very simple, and it's really about trust. It's about where our trust is. First of all, that our trust should not be in flesh, Jeremiah said. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, the wise man said, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him." And notice he says he will make your path straight. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your body and refreshing to your bones." So first of all, Jeremiah reveals, don't put your trust in flesh. Secondly, don't put your trust in nations. And that's what man has done. We put our trust in nation. We put our trust in the strength of nation. We put our trust in leaders of our nation. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Why are they blessed? Not because their trust is in their nation, but their trust is in the Lord God. That's the blessing. And I thought, as I was going through this week, do we know of any nation who we can say is blessed because our God, their God, is the Lord God? From the leadership down, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And finally, don't turn your ear from God, but listen. And that's the simple truth all throughout God's Word. Now, ultimately, we know today, and I'm going to close with this thought, that the blessing that we have is found and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The promise that was spoken way back to Abraham and in his seed, that in you all the nations, all the families of the earth would be blessed. We find in Galatians, Paul reveals that Christ is the fulfillment of that. He is the seed, right? The seed is Christ, so the blessings come through Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to go to Acts chapter 3. You remember real well Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, where Peter gets up and the people who were responsible for putting Christ on the cross, Israel, they cry out and they said, Peter, what do we do? And he tells them what you do. He says, you got to repent. That's like a prophet's message, just like Jeremiah. You got to repent and return. Peter says, you repent, be baptized, Acts chapter 2, 38, every one of you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But in Acts 3, I want you to notice Peter's second sermon. He has just healed the lame man, and he's right in the middle of his lesson. He's given praise and glory to God. This is God's doing, not ours. But I want you to notice verse 17. And we'll read through verse 26, and I'll be through. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance. What did they do? They put Christ on the cross, this Messiah you'd long for. First of all, you put Barabbas, a criminal, before Jesus. You set him free, and you put Jesus, the innocent man, on the cross, your very deliverer. You reacted in ignorance, or acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, same message, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed. Listen. To him you shall give heed to everything that he says to you. And it'll be that every soul that does not heed that prophet, notice what he said, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. He's the prophet. You know, we hear about prophets today, right? Prophets of old. We hear about prophets from other books. The prophet Muhammad, right? Anyone who does not heed that prophet, Jesus, let him be, he said, utterly destroyed from among his people. Verse 24, and likewise all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and his successors onward, also announced these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophet and of the covenant which God made with your forefathers, saying to Abraham, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. God has blessed us. He blessed us by sending His servant Jesus, our Savior, and by turning us from our ways. Those ways that separated us from God. Those ways in which we all acted in our own ignorance. That is the lesson this morning. I want to encourage you all to heed that prophet. To listen to the words of Jesus, and it'll be blessing. To not listen and to not abide and not obey in His word, God has set before us the other way, the way of curse. Follow the way of blessing. Follow the way of happiness. Follow the way of God's word and God's heart. Let's stand, let's sing, and if we can encourage you in any way this morning, would you come as we sing the